Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're discussing the question, my spouse is struggling with a sexual sin. Is it wrong for me to not want to be the main source of accountability?
Sexual sin is extremely painful for everybody involved. Most of us probably have dealt with it in some measure, either ourselves or someone close to us, maybe a family member or a friend. The short answer to this question is no, it's not wrong for you to not want to be the main source of accountability for your spouse who is struggling with sexual sin. In fact, I think it's wisest for someone else to provide that accountability. We'll talk about why in a moment, but let me say before we start talking about these individual points that this is not a male or female problem. We tend to, and I do this too, you go right to, well, this is a question from a female about her husband. Her husband has a sexual sin, and he wants her to be his accountability partner. That isn't the case all of the time. It may be the predominant pattern, but statistics are showing that pornography and other sexual addictions are becoming more and more prevalent among girls, teens, young women, and I have seen just in counseling cases here at our church and at other churches in the area that it is becoming a bigger deal for women to be involved in this. So I'll just say this applies to men and women. If I slip into, as we're talking about this, if I slip into talking about it from the perspective of this is a husband struggling with this sin and his wife, then forgive me for pigeonholing it that way, and just understand that this applies to women struggling with sexual sin too. So, okay, let's talk about why it's not wrong for an offended spouse to not want to be the main source of accountability.
Right. So accountability for sexual sin needs to be frequent and detailed.
Right. You know, accountability for other things can be relatively sporadic, but some sins are extremely enslaving and addictive. You know, if you and I maybe had a problem with Facebook or something, we might check in with one another every couple of weeks or something, right, and say something like, "Have you looked at Facebook recently?" And that might be enough. Well, with sexual sin, it is so enslaving, and some forms of it are extremely enslaving, that the accountability needs to be at least daily for somebody, especially for somebody that's just coming out of it. And possibly even multiple times during the day, checking in with that person and seeing how they're doing. So it needs to be frequent. It also needs to be detailed, like what are you thinking? What are you struggling with? What are you being pulled toward? How can I help you? Sexual sin is among a small group of sins that need that kind of tight accountability. And so that is a reason why, probably not best for the offended spouse to be the person keeping them accountable. We'll talk more about why that might be, here in a few minutes.
Right. Well, another reason is relapses, and particularly for lust and pornography, are unfortunately quite normal.
Right. We wish that this would be different, but when somebody comes out of something like an addiction to pornography or some other sexual sin, it's quite normal, unfortunately, for them to fall back into it multiple times and then immediately repent and get back on track trying to kill it. It is very similar to drug addiction. Now, the offended spouse typically has a very difficult time understanding it, identifying with it at all. In their minds, it's you either got caught or you confessed. Why would you ever do that again? This should be completely over. The whole relapse thing, however temporary, is something that just doesn't compute. But for someone to turn from pornography or whatever it is, cold turkey, and never fall into it again is quite unusual. It's just so enslaving. So that's another reason why it may be best. And this next reason is kind of a compounding thing.
Right. So that reason is the spouse of someone struggling with sin often, almost always actually, has their own issues to work through as a result of that sin.
Right. You know, if your spouse was dealing with gluttony, that's not so much a personally offensive sin against the marriage covenant. So keeping your spouse accountable for not overeating is not that big of a deal. Their overeating is not perceived as a rejection of you personally.
Yeah.
Sexual sin is perceived as a rejection of you personally. It's the most profoundly personable sin that can be committed against a spouse. So frequently, the offended spouse is in way worse shape in terms of emotional and spiritual devastation than is the offending spouse. And it's not at all unusual for the offending spouse to break free from that sexual sin after a time and enjoy great freedom while the offended spouse still struggles with bitterness and unforgiveness and depression and anxiety and et cetera for years longer. So this is a sin, again, that is qualitatively different than other sins in which we might ask a spouse to hold their sinning spouse accountable. It is personally devastating to the person that we're asking for accountability. That makes sense.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So taken together, these things would indicate it's not wise for the offended spouse to be the main source of accountability.
Right, right. So if you take that first point, accountability for sexual sin, it needs to be frequent and detailed. Then relapses are unfortunately quite normal. Then the fact that the offended spouse is often struggling greatly with their own issues as a result of that sin, you mix those three factors together and you come to the point where you see that this is not a recipe for healing for the person who has been offended by the sin of the spouse. The spouse who is drowning in the pain of betrayal, they're going to find it all the more difficult to keep their head above water when they're having to ask their spouse every day or several times a day, how are you doing with your struggle? And then they're hearing things like, oh man, it was brutal. I lusted after 23 people today. Or, oh, it was okay. You know, it's been a week now since I looked at pornography. You know, every time that they're checking in with their spouse to hold their spouse accountable, it can be like a twisting of the knife, a reminder of the sin, and just it compounds the pain that they're feeling, and it puts them in a position to where it almost makes them responsible for getting their spouse out of the sexual sin when they really have they need to be dedicating a whole lot of energy to giving grace to their spouse. I mean, forgiving their spouse and dealing with the bitterness and everything that goes along with hearing that kind of thing. Now, we're not advocating at all hiding things from spouses. So by saying that you know, we shouldn't require accountability from the offended spouse, we're not saying that we want to create a situation where we hide things from that offended spouse. Not at all. It's simply that the offended spouse doesn't need to hear all the details all the time. Vague occasional reports about how their spouse is doing are better for them in their own ability to deal with the their own hearts and how they're forgiving their spouse. So yeah,
right. So, but there may be extraordinary cases where it's okay.
Yeah, there may be situations where you've got a spouse who is just unusually wired to be able to handle this kind of thing, and I've seen it before. It's unusual, but I've seen it before to where they are somehow able, by the grace of God, to compartmentalize and just exude forgiveness and grace and love their spouse completely unconditionally. I mean, they're typically just extremely godly people. So it happens. And in those cases, you know, that might be okay, but I certainly wouldn't recommend it as a normal course to have the offended spouse be the main source of accountability for their spouse struggling with sexual sin. Now, let me add this before we finish here. Usually, when an offending spouse wants their husband or wife to provide accountability, it's because they don't want anyone else to know about the sin, which would indicate to me that there is likely a lack of repentance, a lack of true repentance. So my mind, when I hear this kind of thing, my mind is drawn to 2 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and following, where Paul talks about godly grief that leads to repentance. And he describes this repentance as having a zeal to clear oneself, a zeal to be clean from this thing. It's just like a fire inside that wants to do absolutely anything to be free from this sin. Someone who is truly repentant wants to be rid of the sin. They don't want to hide it. They want it to be exposed so that it can be killed. I think also of John 3 about those who hide from the light. They hide from the light because they don't want their sin exposed. But true repentance doesn't hide from the light. They want it exposed so that they can be free from it. So a spouse who is pressuring their husband or wife to be their sole source of accountability, it is often because they don't want anybody else to know. They don't want a pastor to know. They don't want somebody else in the church to know. That is usually an indication of a lack of repentance. And if it were me, if I was the offended spouse, out of love for them, I would refuse to allow them to stay in the dark. I would insist that they tell someone else and to seek accountability from somebody else. That's the loving thing to do.
Amen.
In my opinion.
Yeah. A lot of helpful things here. Kind of morbid, but
it is. It's very heavy. I mean, it's a sad thing to talk about, but sin is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
It destroys. But praise God, the other side of this is that the gospel provides the ability to change for both the offended spouse and the offending spouse.
Right.
So what we've not taken much time in this episode to talk about is that both of these people can recover from this, and the Lord can use it to glorify Himself.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen many times. I can think of several cases off the top of my head, marriages that were devastated by sexual sin, but the Lord turned it around and is now using it to confound the devil and to bless the church. We've got an episode coming up that we're gonna talk about a question that's been asked. Will God bless my marriage even though I committed adultery? This is going to be a great opportunity to discuss this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, Greg.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.